House Taxation Committee will come to order, please. Will the clerk take roll?
Senator Zolnikov?
Excused.
Senator O'Brien?
Excused.
Senator McLafferty?
Here.
Senator Beard?
Here.
Senator Temple?
Yes.
Senator Hayman?
Here.
Senator Ellsworth?
Excused.
Senator Molnar?
Here.
Senator Travis?
Here.
Senator McCamey?
Here.
Senator Dunwell?
Here.
Senator Hertz?
Excused. Thank you. We now have a quorum and we are ready to begin. Now, if you're here as a testifying witness or proponent or opponent, make sure that you've signed on the check-in sheet out in the hallway and make sure your cell phones are muted. We will be collecting pastries today if somebody's phone goes off. Also, just know that all the microphones are live, so whatever you say in here is going to be memorialized. So we're going to start with House Bill 840. Representative Marshall, would you like to open on your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of House Senate Tax. My name is Ron Marshall, last name M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L. I'm the current representative for House District 87 in the beautiful Bitterroot Valley. Today I bring you House Bill 840. House Bill 840 is an allocation for another $1 million to the state veterans nursing homes. Given the fact that we have three veterans nursing homes here in the state of Montana, and with the increase in inflationary costs and everything else, we're asking to transfer another $1 million to the operations and maintenance fund for those state homes. And you'll see that allocation, page one, line 18. And with that, I will turn it over to somebody way more knowledgeable on this subject, for proponents, opponents, and I reserve to close. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Now we'll be hearing from proponents, please. State your name, affiliation, spell your last name, please, and we'd love to hear from you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Roger Hagan, last name spelled H-A-G-A-N, representing the more than 10,000 members of the Montana Department of the American Legion, as well as the several thousand members currently serving or formerly serving with the Montana Air and Army National Guard Officer and Enlisted Associations. We rise in support of House Bill 840, and certainly thank the representative for carrying this bill. This bill is not a $1 million expenditure. This bill merely adjusts the existing language in statute from a minimum of $4 million to a minimum of $5 million of the cigarette tax. Once that money is in the special revenue account, whether it's the 8.3%, which would be the greater amount at this time, or the $5 million, which would be the cushion or the minimum amount going into that revenue account. Once that revenue is into the special revenue account, it's not expended unless the budget approves it. And so consequently, this is not an expenditure of funds. This is merely putting money into that account to make sure that there's adequate funding available for the three veterans homes. The veterans homes are located in Columbia Falls, Glendive, and Butte. And so we have three, the Southwest Veterans Home being the most recent one in Butte. So what this does is the fiscal note's actually a favor of us and not so much a favor of us. You'll see on the fiscal note that it indicates that by the time the second biennium comes around, fiscal year 2026 and 2027, 8.3% of the cigarette tax will not equal or be greater than the $5 million proposed. And that's why we have that $5 million floor, is we want a minimum of $5 million to flow into that account at the beginning of each fiscal year based on the collection of cigarette taxes. And so consequently, we are, with the $5 million floor, we are guarding against exactly what this fiscal note shows, which is the sale of taxed cigarettes is declining and has declined for years, especially based upon the increase in the cigarette tax rates. The cigarette tax was established in 1947 as 2 cents a pack. And in 1951, it was raised to 4 cents a pack, with 2 cents of that 4 cents going to retire war veteran bonds. In 1957, it was raised to 7 cents. In 1963, it was raised to 8 cents. In 71, it was raised to 12 cents. And in 1983, it was raised to 16 cents. Now, in 1983 was the first year that a specific percentage of that cigarette tax collection was directed to a special revenue account to fund veterans' homes. And as a good friend of mine, former representative here from Butte, Montana, Bobby Pavlovich used to say, us veterans are smoking as fast as we can to make sure our veterans' homes are open. Now, obviously, things have changed a little bit over the years as far as the look of cigarettes and all of that, and that's why you see a decline in the tax revenue. But I always like to quote my friend Bobby, because he definitely made a good point when he would speak about our veterans' homes. And so, consequently, we now see this 8.3% possibly not going to be enough for the veterans home funding. And with the cost increase and the addition of the third veterans home, this $1 million would be, extra $1 million would be helpful. Now, one of the things that the fiscal note does not reflect is what you would see in the bill, subparagraph 3 of 16-11-119. And that is, at the end of the fiscal year, June 30th, anything above $2 million remaining in that special revenue account is swept back into the general fund. So the impact on the fiscal note is possibly not going to be 100% accurate, because there'll be money left over. It all depends on what House Bill 2 appropriates for the veterans' homes. There'll be money left over. Anything above $2 million will be swept back into the general fund. The $2 million is there as the starting seed money for the next fiscal year, July 1st, to make sure that cigarette tax revenues catch up with the operating and maintenance cost of the veterans' homes. So with that, Madam Chair and members of the committee, we certainly urge your support.
Thank you, Mr. Hagen. Further proponents, please. Proponents in the room. Mr. Johnson, do we have any online?
Madam Chair, there are no proponents online.
Thank you. Now we'll go to opponents. Opponents in the room? Seeing none. Mr. Johnson.
Madam Chair, there are no opponents online.
Thank you very much. Informational witnesses, please. Do we have any informational witnesses? Mr. Johnson.
Madam Chair, we have no informational witnesses online.
Thank you very much. Now we'll go to questions from the committee, please. Questions from the committee. Seeing none. Oh, Senator Hayman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for Mr. Hagen.
Madam Chair, Senator Hayman.
Madam Chair, Mr. Hagen, as one of many legislators who are terribly concerned about the lack of funding for nursing homes currently, how can you make me feel comfortable with supporting your bill in light of that we're not taking care, at least currently, of a whole slew of non-military folks that are going to nursing homes?
Madam Chair, Senator Hayman, I don't know what I can say to put you at ease with that, but I can tell you that the funding for the veterans' homes is predominantly not only the state special revenue, but also federal revenue, because the veterans qualify at different levels based upon their incomes and based upon their veteran status for federal payments to the veterans' homes for their care. Now, I don't have the weeds, down in the weeds breakdown of that, but the House Bill 2 currently reflects that the fiscal The federal fiscal impact is around $8 million to $10 million. It's projected for fiscal 2024 to be $16 million. So for the veterans in the veterans' homes, it's more a function of the federal side as it is the state side. And that, I think, removes some of the burden of people who want to be in non-veteran home long-term care. Hopefully that helps a little bit.
Well, thank you for your answer.
Thank you.
Further questions? Senator Dunwell.
Thank you. A question for the sponsor, please.
Representative Marshall.
Madam Chair, Representative Dunwell.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Marshall. So moving $1 million from the general fund into the veterans' homes, and don't get me wrong, veterans' homes need the sustainability funding. Who's the loser here? And I guess, were there any opponents over in the House?
Madam Chair, Representative.
Good question, sorry.
Madam Chair, Representative Dunwell. No. As Mr. Hagan had alluded to, this money goes into the general fund. As I like to put it, and I went through our appropriations guru down in the House, Representative Jones, and that's what I wanted to know. If you take this money and move it into the nursing home as it's allowed by statute, who's going to squeal? Who's down the trough, so to speak? Who's going to squeal if you take that away and it doesn't work out that way? There's nobody down the food chain for that. So as Mr. Hagan had said, that money, what's unused, just goes right back into the general fund unless it's used.
Okay. So, thank you. That helps a lot. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any further questions? Senator Molnar.
Yeah, also for the sponsor, for a clarification, please. So from what you just said, there are no other allocations that are statutory in the cigarette tax collections. So that's why there's no squealing. We're not taking anything away from any other program.
Madam Chair, Senator Molnar, yes, that's correct.
Thank you very much.
Seeing no further questions, we'll go ahead and let the representative close on his bill. Representative Marshall.
Madam Chair, members of the Senate Tax, I appreciate the hearing. Thank you for the questions. I do hear Senator Hayman's question as I sit on HHS in the House. That's a big subject. And I know there's some things being looked at on that subject as well. But this is one of those things as a veteran myself, they sacrificed a lot for us. It's part of the contract, and I think we should own to that contract to take care of them as best we can, and I ask for a green light on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Marshall. This closes the hearing on House Bill 840. Next up, we have House Bill 861. Let's see. And we have Representative Phelan. Would you like to introduce your bill, please?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Madam Chair. my name is Bob Phelan. I am from House District 36, and you spell my name, P-H-A-L-E-N. And this bill deals with property tax relief for a business when a government entity imposes a curfew or occupancy reduction during a state of emergency or disaster. This bill deals with Class 4 and Class 8 exemptions. Exemptions don't start until day 15. An entity must pay the full tax due and then apply for a credit promulgated by the department. It will then be credited on the next bill based on the amount of the credit determined by the department. The purpose of this bill is to make a government entity to think long and hard before they shut a business down. You can't expect a business to pay taxes if you take away their source of income, Madam Chair. I'll stand for questions.
Thank you. We'll go ahead and hear from proponents on House Bill 861.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, I'm Representative Jedediah Hinkle. That's H-I-N-K-L-E. And I come before you to support House Bill 861. It is amazing that it has already been nearly 2 years since we were in the height of the pandemic. But let us not forget the stress and strain placed on the people of our nation with overbearing mandates. We were able to observe firsthand the heavy hand of government, especially on our business community, by using businesses to be the public enforcement arm of not only local governments, but also of state governments. Prior to the pandemic, we had no idea the authority that truly rested in government entities, and were shocked when we saw businesses completely shut down and deemed as non-essential. These businesses deemed non-essential were business owners who had families to feed, they had mortgages to pay, health care costs, employees to pay, and the list goes on. Last session, we passed a number of good bills to try and address government strain on our business community, but one area was left untouched. This is where House Bill 861 comes into play. This bill gives a tax exemption credit to a business who have been shut down for 14 consecutive days or more. During the pandemic, we saw businesses who thrived for decades in our communities completely shut down after a matter of weeks and months of having their customer base cut off. However, we did not see government grant a tax abatement for those weeks and months of lost income. No, government entities were right there to collect those taxes regardless. I urge this committee to not forget the pandemic in our business community and pass House Bill 861 as the final piece in that puzzle towards shoring up Montana for our business community to survive another state emergency. And Madam Chair, I have a committee to get to. May I be excused?
Let's check. Does anyone have any questions for Representative Hinkle before he leaves? Seeing none?
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Excuse. Thank you. Further proponents, please.
Madam Chair and Committee, my name is Mike Hope. I own the Rock and Arbor in Bozeman, Montana. I'd like to testify, and I'd like to thank Representative Phelan for bringing this forward. Sometimes we forget what happened as we get away from it. But to give you an example, we were closed down for 6 weeks, and then our hours were limited as a bar. But I also own the building, which is about 37,000 square feet that we're in. And at that point in time, we had a salon on the third floor, an insurance company, and another restaurant next to us. We met immediately after we got closed with all of our tenants, and we cut their rent in half for the following year. And that was tried to bring them in and develop a partnership. And we truly did develop a partnership. They're all still with me to this day, and we somehow got through it all. But in the end of May, our property tax bill came. So when they cut your ability to earn money, they devalue your property, actually, when you look at it on an income standpoint. I think this is a fair piece of legislation to get the credit, and it would have helped us through it. But I also think it might have made government officials make better decisions at the same time if they would have been put in the same position that we were putting in as business owners. So I would encourage you to pass this. We look backwards. I was in a meeting with a bunch of my employees yesterday, and somehow the topic of the pandemic got brought up, and I said I was coming up here to testify. They go, well, they wouldn't shut us down again, would they? I go, well, you never know, right? You just don't know. So if we put some of these stopgaps in place, knowing what we know happened, I think we can manage through this better the next time around. So I would encourage you to pass on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hope. Further proponents, please. Seeing none in the room, Mr. Johnson, do we have any online?
Madam Chair, there are no proponents online.
Thank you. Now we'll go to opponents in the room.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Bryce Kautz, that's K-A-A-T-Z, Bureau Chief with the Property Assessment Division, and we're here in opposition of House Bill 861. Our opposition is not on a policy perspective, but merely a technical and administrative concerns that we have with the bill and our ability, or what we think is probably a lack of ability to actually effectively administer this exemption as it's laid out in the bill. We've read through this bill multiple times. It's confusing as to how we would actually implement this and apply the exemption in all situations. So that's primarily why we're here in opposition, is just from an administrative standpoint. We don't know that we'd actually be able to effectively administer the exemption as it's currently laid out. From a department standpoint, our responsibility is valuing property. Whenever we're talking exemptions, how we apply exemptions is by reducing the normal tax rate by whatever the legislature decides that particular exemption is. So this is a two-tier exemption. If we were just to focus on the first tier, the 25% reduction, what we would do is we'd value the property as normal, apply a 25% reduction to the class code, and pass that value along. Where it really gets difficult for us to administer is when we have to apply an exemption that doesn't apply universally to all the mills. When you have to determine taxes on a specific portion of a mill that property is subject to, calculate what those taxes are, and apply those. And apply that exemption just to a specific portion of a subset of mills that property is subject to, that becomes very difficult for us to actually administer. Again, we can't pass two different values along to the county systems. Either currently our system that we use to value property and the county systems that they use for billing and collection are not set up to accommodate and handle applying exemptions to sub-portions of value that only apply to certain mills. So that's one of our big concerns. There's also, we're not entirely sure when we would apply the exemption to what portions of bills. There seems to be some conflicting language within the bill itself. Hopefully you have a similar version to the bill I'm looking at. But on page 1, starting on lines 25, 26, and 27, it says, the county treasurer shall send a revised tax bill to a qualifying business that provides the total amount of property taxes due after a reduction of the exemption credit. So that section saying the county treasurer will send a revised tax bill. If you go to page 2, starting on lines 8 through 11, this section says, in order to claim the exemption credit, a business shall pay the full amount of property tax due and claim the exemption credit on a form promulgated by the department. A qualifying business is entitled to receive the exemption credit on the next tax bill. So in one section, it's saying that we're supposed to apply the credit and issue a revised tax bill. This section says the business is supposed to pay the taxes in full. Once you pay the taxes in full, there would be no revised tax bill. The county doesn't send a tax bill for a negative balance. They would just issue a refund. So it's somewhat confusing to us as to how this would apply. The second portion is, if you go to page 2, 4B, this is the second tier of the exemption. So the first tier is a 25% reduction. The second tier is a reduction based on the number of days, based on a prorated calculation from the number of days that those restrictions are in place versus a 365-day calendar. Again, if you kind of read through some of this, starting at line 23 and 24, the applicable payment period for the extended exemption credit is the duration of time between the last property tax payment and the deadline for the current property tax payment. Again, this is really confusing to us as to whether you're paying the taxes in full or not. As most of you are aware, you actually have the ability to pay your real property in two installments, a first half payment due in November, a second half payment due in May. So is this payment, when it talks about the deadline for the current property tax payment, if you only paid the first half, are you now talking just the window, because technically your next payment is due May 31st, or are we talking November to November? So there's just a lot of things that are unclear in this bill, and we aren't sure that we would know how to or be able to actually administer it. A few other concerns is when it's talking about just applying to the mills for the governmental entity that is applying the restriction. What do you do in cases where there are multiple levels of restriction? Does it only apply to one, or does it apply to both? And the example I would give is, say, if your county put a curfew in place of 12 o'clock, but your business was located in a city and they decided to enact a curfew of 10 o'clock. Well, that city curfew would make it so you can't ever even get to the county restricted curfew. So would we still apply the reduction and exemption to both the county and the city mills, or would it just be to the city mills because technically they're closed, the city's forcing them to close before they can even get to the county restriction? So that's a concern. We don't know how to apply it in that regard. And then lastly, I think you heard one of the proponents kind of mention this. We have multiple mixed use properties where, say, the ground floor is a retail establishment or a restaurant or bar that would be subject to those restrictions. Say the second and third floor are office buildings that aren't subject to those restrictions. Does the exemption apply to the entire building, or do we have to prorate it and only apply to the value that we're associating with the actual first floor business that is subject to those restrictions? Again, just makes it extremely difficult for us to be able to administer. So again, we're here in opposition to House Bill 861, not from a policy perspective, but primarily and merely from a technical and administrative perspective, and we just don't think we would be able to actually administer this bill as currently written. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Kotz. Any further opponents on House Bill 861? Mr. Johnson?
Madam Chair, there are no opponents online.
Thank you. And we'll go to informational witnesses in the room and online.
Madam Chair, there are no informational witnesses online.
Thank you very much. Seeing no additional witnesses, we'll go ahead and have questions from committee members. Senator McClafferty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the sponsor, please.
Representative Phelan.
Madam Chair, Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Phelan. After hearing the concerns from the Department of Revenue, I'm just curious if there was any conversations to try and rectify these concerns.
What concerns are you referring to? Senator, in my opinion, he's trying to cause confusion because I don't think it's as confusing as he says it is. And in my opinion, like my proponent said, beauty salon, whatever on the. In my understanding, property taxes is on the property. It's not on the business. If I'm not correct, I'm sure that Mr. Hope will tell you that. But anything else?
Thank you. Further questions? Senator Dunwell.
Thank you. Question for Mr. Kotz, please.
Madam Chair, Senator Dunwell.
Thank you, Mr. Kotz, Madam Chair. So during the pandemic, 3,701 of our fellow Montanans died from COVID. I'm reading on your technical note that this confusing bill could further reduce available disaster funding to help mitigate the illness, the disaster, and maybe prevent deaths. This is on technical note number 3. Could you further elaborate on that, please?
Madam Chair, Senator Dunwell, I'm looking.
Oh, do you want it? Do you want the?
Technical note.
This is the fiscal note.
Thank you, Senator Dunwell.
And Madam Chair, if he didn't write the fiscal note, that's fine. I have another question.
Mr. Kotz, do you have an opinion on that?
Madam Chair, Senator Dunwell, I did not write the fiscal note, but I think what that's referring to is just in the bill itself, in page 3, section 4C, it just prohibits the local governments from being able to enact emergency levy provisions for 10 in as provided in MCA 10.3405. So I think the technical note is just speaking specific that there could be some implications with that limitation being in place, then if local governments were to levy emergency levies and then use those to get matching funds from the federal government with this bill prohibiting them from being able to levy those, then they would obviously not be able to leverage that to get matching funds from the federal government.
Okay, Madam Chair, follow up?
Follow up.
So what I'm hearing is, bottom line, this would hurt local governments.
Madam Chair, Senator Dunwell, I guess, yes, it would require them to live within a reduced amount of tax revenue because of the exemption and them not being able to increase their levies or levy an emergency levy to make up from those losses.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Cotts.
Thank you, Senator McKamey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Question for the sponsor, please.
Representative Phelan.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, good representative. Back to the fiscal note. Do you have a copy of the fiscal note in front of you? Excellent. Okay. And referring to the technical notes again, there, and I'm seeing the budget director's initials on here. So we know who the budget director is, and he is very thorough and very skilled. And if he is saying it is not clear if a business inherits the property tax exemption, if the business is sold between the exemption application and the next tax bill, how can you refute that?
Okay. Madam Chair, Senator, if a business is sold, that's what you're asking me, right? If a business is sold?
It says it is not clear. How can you refute that?
Well, as I understand it, if the business is sold and it stays the same as it was, then that business gets the exemption. But if that business is sold and it is sold and it goes to a different, you know, they are doing something different than what the original business was, then they do not get the exemption. Am I following you?
Madam Chair.
Follow up?
Yes, thank you for a follow up, Madam Chair. Good representative. The sentence begins, it is not clear if a business inherits the property tax if it is sold between the exemption application and the next tax bill. How can that be resolved? This seems to be, to me, a barrier.
Really? Madam Chair? Well, I don't know how that... I could re-refer that question to my bill drafter, but I don't know if that's legal.
Okay. Thank you, Representative, Madam Chair.
Senator Molnar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For Mr. Kautz, please.
Mr. Kautz.
Madam Chair, Senator Molnar.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Kautz. I don't share the lack of clarity that you seem to have. For example, multiple use of a building, one business is shut down, the other one's not. 100,000 square foot building, this 10,000 is shut down. Pro rata doesn't seem to be even considered here, and that would be the normal solution, I would think. Business gets sold. The business gets the tax break or the refund, however they're looking at it. And if the next one opens up and they're not part of it, it would be pro rata. You had 90 days that affected you. You sold the business. Here's your 90 days. It does say in here, I believe, glance through it, that you would apply for the reimbursement. People, on all the tax bills that we've passed out of here, the people have to apply for their property tax reimbursement. It doesn't seem to be unclear. Have you worked with a sponsor to try and come up with an amendment that would clarify the things that you seem to be unsure of that you think might cause problems upon the bill's passage should there be another pandemic?
Madam Chair, Senator Molnar, no, we have not had any talks with a sponsor. The unclarity from our perspective is, for all other exemptions, you're applying because you own the property, and for your current or upcoming tax bill, this is you apply for the exemption with, again, not entirely clear to us, but you apply for and receive the credit, but it doesn't apply until you actually receive your following year's tax bill. So if I own the property in 2023 and I get to my bill and I do as it says and I pay those taxes in full and then apply for the credit and then I have sell this property in February, the credit isn't actually getting applied until the next year's 2024 tax bill. And it's just unclear to us whether we would still apply that credit since the person who originally applied for it in the based on their prior year shutdown and their ownership, and the new owner is going to get that tax bill the following year when the credit's supposed to get applied, whether that property is still subject to receive that credit from the prior owner or not. Again, it's just unclear because it's not spelled out or defined in the bill itself. Same thing, we could decide to potentially do a proration. That makes it more difficult to administer. But again, it's not clear in the bill whether the exemption would just apply carte blanche to the entire property or if we would be expected to do some sort of proration to limit the exemption to the portion of property taxes associated with the portion of the building that's with the business that was shut down. So I don't disagree that these things couldn't be worked out. It's just not in this bill, and it's not clear to us what our expectation would be in these scenarios and how it would apply, because the way it reads, it's pushing these credits to future year tax bills, which is completely outside the norm of how we would normally apply an exemption and work on this sort of.
Madam Chair, follow up. So I think what you said, I could be wrong with a little clarification, that you could handle it in arms because the bill was there, the law was there, should there be another pandemic. Hopefully we'll give you time to work on it. So if I might, Madam Chair, a couple days ago, I met with DOR on another bill I'm working on amendments for, and they were telling me how impossible it was, and I said, please write an amendment that makes it doable, because it's a huge bite. You know, I have to give them that, because if you don't, I will. So what I would like to see is, before we take EA, you sit down with a sponsor, work on an amendment you can agree with, and lay it here so that you have clarity and we're not fighting over rules 50 years from now during the next pandemic. Certainly, it has to be doable.
Madam Chair, Senator Molnar, yeah, we certainly can sit and have some discussions with the sponsor and see if we can come up with something. I know we're
if you would, we're kind of short for time on EAs and things, so if you could handle that, you know, write something up, see what he thinks, and bring it to us, I would appreciate it.
Madam Chair, Senator Molnar, we'll see what we can do.
Thank you, Mr. Kotz. I have a question for the bill sponsor, please.
Madam Chair.
Representative Phelan, thank you for presenting this bill. It addresses a huge concern that many of us have been hearing about in the last 3+ years. I wanted to ask you, I mean, we heard from Senator Molnar about having you sit down as the sponsor, sit down with Department of Revenue. I'm seeing an obvious absence of another key ingredient to a bill like this, and that is the counties. Montana Association of Counties, did you contact them when you were putting this together, this bill?
Madam Chair, I did not. Maybe my bill drafter did, but last session I brought this bill, it was tabled twice, and Mako was a opponent last session. I had everybody in the state capitol here as an opponent, because it seemed like to me anyway. But no, I did not sit down with them. But it does affect. Madam Chair, if I may, the idea is to affect the county if the county shuts your business down, or if the governor shuts the business down. your businesses down. It is designed to affect their revenue.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. We would need to, I think, to strengthen this bill. Mm-hmm. We would need to sit down with the third party, the counties being represented, because first and foremost, the counties are the ones who collect the property taxes. Mm-hmm. And they also have their mills affected with the reduction in property tax revenues by refunding if there's a closure. So I think that if anything were possible, it would require an amendment also with the Association of Counties and their representatives kind of filling in the holes so we could strengthen this and make it doable, because I think we need to address so many of our businesses and taxpayers around this state with this very idea. We just need to make it work.
Right. So I agree.
Go ahead.
As far as the, we heard that, you know, that the your refund is based on what is promulgated by the Earth Department, right? And as I understand it, you pay the taxes first, like say in November, and then you're shut down or whatever. And then on the next property tax bill, it's just reduced. There's no if I'm making any sense here, but anyway, that's what the way I understand that it's done, and I don't see where that's so hard. I mean, I'm a farmer and a rancher, and if I can read that in here, I know I'm not educated, but like these guys are. But and another thing too. Well, I'm not closing yet.
Well, okay, so I'll go ahead and ask if there are any more questions from committee members. Senator McCamey.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the sponsor, please. Madam Chair. Thank Senator. You. Sponsor, I'm a farmer rancher, too, and I also pay property tax, and I am the county, and I was kind of wondering the same thing about, you know, why we weren't seeing some county input here, because it does affect the property taxes, of which, of course, you know, how can you, are you willing to, again, sit down with them? You need to contact them. Would you do that, please?
Madam Chair, you want me to contact them?
MACO. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's fine. Yeah, I can do that, Senator. I got Jason Riddle's phone number, I believe.
Oh. That would be good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Seeing no further questions, would you like to close, Representative Phelan?
I would. Thank you very much. First off, I want to start off. I just went and got a cup of coffee down here at 1889, and I was talking to the lady back there, and she said in 2020, she was working for a fly fishing business, and they shut them down. And she said they're property tax bill was $13,000, and they had to pay the whole amount. That is my point here, is if your business is shut down, then they should not expect for you to pay your property tax, because you're taking their customers away from them. And so, anyway, I would request a do pass, Madam Chair.
And I thank you, and we look forward to hearing back from you on this important issue.
Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes the hearing on House Bill 861. We'll let the room clear out as necessary and have some closing comments amongst the committee members. Mr. Coles, our next meeting is scheduled for Monday.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the next meeting is scheduled for Monday, but Chair Hertz sent me an email this morning saying that he will advise and may need to change that because you may be on the floor all day on Monday. So we're kind of in a situation where it's tentative. Yesterday when we met, it was also announced that executive action on all bills, with the exception of probably the one that would have been heard Monday, we'd have executive action on Monday. But obviously, if you're not here, you won't be doing executive action. So Chair Hertz usually gives me information and asks me to forward it on to the committee. So I'll be sending sending emails to update you on what's going on. And the recent status sheet in front of you shows the various amendments that are being worked on or that are in edit. So, Madam Chair, that's all I have.
Thank you. Senator Dunwell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Madam Chair, is there a possibility that we'll be meeting tomorrow to do EA?
I can't. I doubt it. I don't think so.
Why not? I haven't given enough notice.
Not for EAs.
Oh, for EAs.
Yes.
Yeah. We have enough notice for you.
Well, we don't know, but stay tuned, because if something does occur, we will be, just be prepared to act at a moment's notice.
We're the hardworking tax committee.
Oh, that's, we just heard that's called flexibility. Yes, yes. Engage your flexibility.
Could I pose a question to
Senator McCamey?
I guess I should be on the record here. Or have we closed? Did you?
No, we haven't adjourned.
I think the premise of this bill that we just heard is a good premise. But I can see that there are some real logistical problems here and some conflicts within the bill. I guess I'd have to ask Mr. Coles, do you think we can resolve these conflicts?
Madam Chair, Senator, so I think what I could do, and I did this with Senator Molnar, as Senator Molnar said recently, we met with the department downstairs. Usually what I do is send a document that's a Word document to the department, and then it gives them something that they can work on with amendments. And then if the sponsor is willing, I mean, it's certainly possible to get something on that. I don't know if you'll get an agreement among the parties or not, but you may get it to where it's more doable. So I'm happy to meet with the sponsor and the department.
Yeah.
Madam Chair.
Did you build this bill?
Madam Chair, Senator, so this bill was drafted last session, and this is pretty much the same bill as last session. It did have amendments that were put into it that came out of last session that were, so, you know, because it was actually even more unclear last session, so that were to clarify some things. So, yes, I did, but it is definitely a unique concept.
Okay. Yes, it is. Senator McClafferty.
And I was sitting, as you were talking about, I was just sitting here thinking, not just with the counties, but also school districts. Everybody's going to be involved. Yeah.
That's true.
I think that the premise is highly commendable, mm-hmm. and I think it is, at this point, just halfway there. So it does need some work to make it work, and we do need to be cognizant of the relief we need to provide mm-hmm. to our Montana business owners.
Certainly.
Because they suffered greatly. Thank goodness they had the ability some of the times to get federal dollars to help augment their employees' salaries or missing salaries. Mm-hmm. So that did help. But I just think it's a great idea. I can just see so many bugaboos in the closet with trying to make something like that work. Mm-hmm. until it's further developed. Senator Molnar.
Yeah, having been a business owner for 34 of my years before I retired and still a business owner because I'm not smart enough to retire, when you take the carte blanche actions that state government did in Montana, certainly not all states, but many states, that you are shut down, but you owe us, that is so unfair. If your family can't eat, that's too bad. We're taking your property. Fire your employees. That's fair. But we can't take a, but the county can't take a hit. The schools, which no kids are going to because they're all on video, got the same amount of money. A bill like this, if it were naked, just as it is, would be a warning to government. Don't tell somebody you're shutting down their fly fishing shop when it has nothing to do with COVID. At least be selective and reduce your own internal damage and the damage to everybody else.
Hence, this bill was brought forward, and we've had a very good discussion, and I look forward to carrying it further. So with that, I adjourn Senate taxation for April 13th. Thank you all.
Thank you.
The card for the